You see the title, Sound of Silence, and that's an old Simon and Garfunkel song. If you go back and read the words to it, one of the last parts is that, where are the words of the prophets? And they answer, the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls. Graffiti. We know that the words of the prophets are written right here in the Word of God. And when we're looking at Psalm 28, and we talk about the sound of silence here, David is talking about those times in our lives when we feel like God is silent. He's not answering our prayer. Now, if some of you have never experienced that apparent silence of God, perhaps it's because you have not been praying as you ought. Because if any of us is praying as we ought, there will be times when we will not be receiving the answers to our prayers as quickly as we think we should. And it would appear as though God is silent. And we can identify then with David in this. And of course, his answer is that God is not really, truly silent. He goes on to show how he's answered his prayer. Psalm 28 is a fantastic psalm because it rounds out the shepherd motif that started at Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. And at the end here, Psalm 28, verse 9, be their shepherd and carry them always. It kind of sets off this whole section this way, like bracketing it, putting it in the picture frame. And it's interesting because it begins in the singular, my shepherd, personal, and concludes with their shepherd, applying it to all the people. And we'll see that that's paralleled in the psalm itself, Psalm 28, because it begins with the Lord is my strength. In Psalm 28, we have that message brought out very clearly in verse 7, and then it goes to verse 8 to say the Lord is their strength, the application outward to the community and to all that are involved. So very interesting parallelism here. Also, taking the two psalms we've last studied here, Psalm 27 and 28, notice the similarities, references to God as the rock in both psalms, references to do not be deaf to me in Psalm 27, 9, the same meaning, answer me, as do not hide your face from me. Also, the sanctuary, the tabernacle, the temple mentioned in both psalms repeatedly, only one time, however, here in Psalm 28, verse 2. The concept of help brought out, the Lord had helped David, and the concept of singing, David's song. Here it's going to be a song of thanks for God's answered prayer. And then for salvation, the emphasis there twice in both passages that salvation is from the Lord. We don't do it ourselves. It is a work of God. The themes of Psalm 28, I think as we go through this, you'll see that the first one is that we must, or we ought to persist in prayer, even when it appears that the Lord is silent. We must persist in prayer. Psalm 28 teaches us that. Even when David thought that the Lord, or felt like the Lord was silent, he continued to pray. So ought we. We are not called to escape suffering. We find that throughout the Psalms, throughout the New Testament as well. We're called to suffer. There are times that we must face that are difficult. We also learn from the Psalm a key thing, that God will judge us for the works that we perform, and he'll judge all mankind. We're going to talk about that a little bit more a little later. Our works matter. What we do matters. And that's why in this psalm, I also want us to consider this aspect of why is it that this psalm reminds me of a bowl of cherries? Those aren't little aliens sitting in that little basket there with rain falling on them. That's what my wife said. I asked her what it looked like. She said, it looks like aliens. Well, they're supposed to be cherries in a sieve being washed. All right? But why do we say the phrase, life is not a bowl of cherries? Why? Anyone? It's the pits, right? At times, it's the pits, right? Okay. It's not all just pleasantness, sweetness, and everything wonderful. Life is not a rose garden. Life is not a rose-petaled, strewn, easy path. Life is a rugged path, a difficult time. There are times of severe trial that we will go through. And through it all, we must realize that we need to pray, that we need to be persistent in our prayers. consistent in prayer, and we need to rely upon God as the strength to get us through. So as we read the psalm, think about these areas. How does this psalm impact your life in your home? How about your family relationships, marriage, children, spouse? How does this impact your life in the workplace? How does this impact your life in the church? We want to focus today on the aspect of doing the will of God and acting upon the Word of God. Let's read Psalm 28 together, shall we? A Psalm of David. Let's all read. To you, O Lord, I call. My rock, do not be deaf to me. For if you are silent to me, I will become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands towards your holy sanctuary. Do not drag me away with the wicked and with those who work iniquity, who speak peace with their neighbors while evil is in their hearts. Requite them according to their work and according to the evil of their practices. Requite them according to the deeds of their hands. Repay them their recompense. Because they do not regard the works of the Lord, nor the deeds of his hands, he will tear them down and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplication. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart exults, and with my song I shall thank him. The Lord is their strength, and he is a saving defense to his anointed. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd also, and carry them forever. Now we read in verse 7 that David's going to exalt him in song with thanks. Marcus is going to come help us sing a rendition of Psalm 28. And if you look in your handout there, the back of the handout, page 6, right there in the middle, O Lord, to thee I cry, is the song that he's going to teach us.
I'll sing the first phrase and then
you can begin. Oh Lord, to thee I cry, abhors my walk and song.
O Lord, to thee I cry, thou art my rock and trust.
Hold me not by limb as my God, and somewhere in the lost.
Hold me silent, lest I and somewhere in the dust.
Oh, hear me when I pray, my Savior I entrust. Oh,
hear me when in prayer,
my Savior I entrust. Hear my
lift imploring hands before thy mercy seat. While I lift imploring him before thy mercy seat, O draw me not away with those of evil will, with them who speak of peace indeed, but still are planning ill. Requite them for their wrong, their evil deeds, O Lord. O give them then their just deserts, and to their deeds reward. Thy deeds they disregard, thy handiwork despise. And therefore thou wilt cast them down and never let them rise. But blessed be the Lord, who hearkens when I cry. The Lord, my strength, my help, my shield, on him will I rely. His help makes glad my heart, and songs of praise I sing. Jehovah is his people's strength, the stronghold of their king. Bless thine inheritance, our Savior be, I pray. Supply thou all thy people's need, and be their constant stay.
Thank you, Marcus. Some of those new tunes are hard for us to learn because they're so unfamiliar. But think of the words here, and maybe through it all, as we'll keep learning some of these tunes at other times, some of the tunes will come back to us. And there are other songs and other tunes that we can use with some of these. This one was one that Marcus had a hard time finding any other tune for than what it was published with. So some are very specific. At the end of the class, we'll have one that has some very familiar hymn tunes for us to sing. As we look at this psalm now, we've read it, we've sung it. How about praying it? What are some sentence prayers drawn from Psalm 28 that we might pray? Anyone? Who's first? Hear me when I pray. Good. I have one very similar to that right at the start. Okay? Yes. All right. Pray for God to judge the wicked. Pray for justice. Okay? Anyone else? Yes, Stephanie. Excellent point. Asking for mercy because we realize, as David did, we're just as wicked as those we're praying for God to judge. We have the same capacity, capability as sinners, right? Okay, what else? What other sentence prayers from Psalm 28? Okay, O Lord, you're my strength and shield. Okay, someone else? Yes, Fred? Okay, help me trust in your infinite wisdom. Yes, Jen? Okay, good. Following the example, take me out of the pits. When life is the pits, okay, the cherry example and also the fact there, he says, you know, Lord, if you don't answer me, I've become like those who go down to the pit. Speaking of death, I'm just as good as those. If God doesn't answer prayer, then I have no hope. You see? All right, anyone else? Another sentence prayer from Psalm 28. Yes, Kathy. Okay, blessed be the Lord. Okay, thank him for his love. The Lord be praised. Ready?
Give me patience to wait for your answer.
Okay, give me patience to wait for your answer. Excellent prayers. Okay, look at some of these others. Lord, don't treat me like the unbeliever and evildoer. And we know he won't if we're in Christ, right? We're secure in him. Bring your justice into this world. I praise you, Father, for answered prayer. I trust you and I sing my thanksgiving to you. Bless your people, O Lord. David? Okay, great. It gives comfort, hope, confirmation, assurance of faith. Yes, Lord? Okay, we had an excellent example of that yesterday, didn't we, in the Broadbent Memorial, where Jim shared with us how God had taught them. I think it's an excellent point. We need to then ask God, not only, there may not be his will to remove the difficulty. It may be his will to use that difficulty to mold us, to make us, to purify us, to prepare us. Okay, well, let's go further then. Let's take a quick look at the outline of the psalm. Very simple, basic outline. There's a supplication in verses 1 through 5. David supplicates. He prays the Lord and asks for him to hear him, asks for the Lord to not judge him together with the wicked, asks the Lord to bring justice with regard to those who are wicked, and then he moves in verses 6 through 9 into a time of thanksgiving. And he thanks God, he praises God in verse 6 because he's heard his prayer. He answered it. He praises God because the Lord is his strength and his shield. He confesses his trust in God, that God has helped him, and that he exults in that, and that he breaks forth in the song in thanksgiving for what God has done. And then he turns to intercede on behalf of others, and he prays for them, and praises God that he is not only David's personal strength, but he's the people's strength. As king of Israel, he had an interest in his people and their spiritual welfare, and he praises God that he is their strength as well, and that he's their shepherd, not just his shepherd, and that he can carry them in his arms forever. In looking through this psalm, and I want to do something a little bit different this morning. We're a little bit short on time, too, but I want to just primarily bring out the three major emphases in this psalm by means of repeated words and phrases, and for us to talk about them in that very practical fashion I brought out earlier, applying it. How does this psalm fit into my home, my workplace, and my life as a whole and here in the church? Look at verses 1 through 2. Look what is repeated in verses 1 through 2. It's the concepts regarding prayer. I call. Do not be deaf, meaning answer me. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you. These are all emphasizing prayer. And then when I lift up my hands, the attitude, the stance of prayer. When we think of that particular emphasis on prayer, a focus on prayer, how does that concept of David's focus and thereby the Lord's focus and emphasis on the importance and significance of prayer itself, how does that affect us in our families? Anyone? How do we take this truth, this emphasis on prayer, and put it to work in our families? Kathy? Okay. The idea of praying with our families. We are responsible for that, all of us. Okay? And by that word, modeling prayer, aren't we? Teaching our children how to pray? We model it before them. Let them hear us pray. What else? Steve? Okay, you may not hear that in the back there, but Steve's saying he may not have come to Christ except his parents were praying for him. Go ahead.
They probably thought that was over for a while.
They perhaps felt God was silent, too, in those periods of time waiting for you to come to Christ. All right? And look what an example that was. You remember that. It stuck with him. His parents praying. Okay, Mark, did you have something you were going to say? Okay, someone else? Yes, Jim? Okay, excellent. Okay, teaching our family that constant communion with God in prayer. Okay, what about when families run into problems or difficulties? What do we show by praying? Dependence on God. It's an admission. We need to let our children see and understand when we, as human beings, as sinners saved by grace, do not have all the answers, cannot resolve all the problems, cannot heal all the hurts. And we need to teach them by example that we need to go to God for that. All right? That's something that has to take place. David?
I would certainly concur with that. It has to add that it's especially important for fathers, for their sons, not to mention the daughters, of course, but for the fathers, for their sons, because often sons will see their fathers as heroes that who have all the answers, and dad can do this or do that, can be out of all these problems, and it's good for them to have a healthy respect that their father is dependent on the ultimate father, and that he is human, and that he can be frail and fail, and that only God can ultimately handle or solve the situation.
Okay, good. So you see, prayer is very important in our family lives. Jim?
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing, that we need to show our kids that God is not only sovereign over the blessings,
but
he's sovereign over the trials.
Okay, God's sovereign over trials as well as blessings. These lessons we need to teach our children And there's hardly any other way to teach them except by example in this. So when we're looking at this psalm, we're not talking about just coming in and so learning the psalm, having it in our heads, being able to read it, being able to sing it. We need to put it to work. We need to do it. It does make a difference. What did James say? Be doers of the word and not hearers only, lest we deceive ourselves. Question here? Yes. Very good. Praying with our children when they disobey, when we're disciplining them. And also, we need to remember to pray openly before them when we're asking the Lord to help us obey. Because it's not always easy to obey. You know, it's difficult. And perhaps on Sunday morning we're having a difficult time coming to church. We need to openly before the Lord confess that and say, Lord, you know, it's hard for me to go to church today. Lord, help me to obey you. And just our children hearing that alone helps them to understand, hey, I'm not the only one that has a hard time. And look, mom and dad are depending on the Lord in this situation. Steve? That's right. We learn these lessons by teaching others. All right? Let's go to the next section of the psalm, verses 3 to 5. We have a totally different emphasis here. In these verses, again, the repetition is on words regarding work. Notice verse 3, the word work. Verse 4, work, practices, deeds. Verse 5, works and deeds. We also need to pay attention whose works and deeds are talked about here. Because there's the deeds and works of the ungodly, but there's also the works and deeds of God talked about here. Why is this emphasis here? It is because it matters what we do. God cares about what we do. Our works do matter. Sometimes you and I approach it and saying, well, wait a minute, I'm not saved by works. I'm saved by faith. And we so emphasize, even in our Sunday school classes and our preaching sometimes, we so emphasize what we ought to know and believe. But we also need to emphasize, and it's equally important with God, what we do. We have to be living and working and doing. How does this emphasis upon God's seeing this and showing here the significance of works, how does that affect us in just everyday life? Anyone? Stephanie? Okay, we're fleshing out what we believe. Okay, good. Anyone else? How else does this affect us in the things we do and how we live? Whose works are described here primarily? The evildoers. Now, sometimes, isn't it true that God's people tend to not be differentiated from those who are unbelievers because we do the same things they do? We have to watch that, don't we? One of the works here is about the evildoer saying one thing with his mouth and in his heart thinking something totally different. Speaking peace with his mouth, in his heart having all sorts of evil intentions. How are we at that? Works are very important. Our works don't save us. All right? Works do not bring salvation. But the one who is saved will work. That faith will show itself. And we need to pay attention to that. Works are very important. What we do is important. We need to teach our children the same thing. You know, we can say, you know, you ought to pray. We can say you ought to give. You ought to do all these things. But if we aren't doing it too, it doesn't mean anything. It just doesn't mean anything. We're going through a time of trial in our family right now with our older son. And this is a problem he's facing within his family. He has not been living for the Lord. And it is showing up in his family. And that's what happens. We get away from the Lord when we're not doing as we ought, when our works are contrary to what we say we believe. Those around us soon begin to recognize that. And there's rebellion, there's trouble, there's difficulty. Works are very, very important. Let's go to the third area of repetition, verses 7 through 8. A new emphasis. Here we have a repetition of words for strength. And in the Hebrew language, it's emphasized by the sounds here, repeated over and over again to where you just can't get it out of your mind. The word for strength is uz or oz in the Hebrew. And the very first time, it's my strength is uzi. What's an uzi? Anyone? It's one of these things, right? Invented by Uziel Gal in Israel. And so they named it after him, an Uzi, although he doesn't like that. But the fact is that Uzi means my strength or power. And many times the Israelis will show, okay, this is my power, this is my strength. Now, in the scriptures, especially in the Old Testament, Israel was told not to depend upon weapons, military might, for their strength. Instead, it's to be the Lord. And he is our strength and power. As you go down through the passage, the word for help is a related word. The word for exalt sounds like it. It has the same sounds in it, the O's in it. The word for strength, the word for defense, all related to this. So that all the way through here, in these two verses, as the psalmist would be singing this in Hebrew, the people are hearing this O's, O's sound over and over and over and over again to remind them that the strength is found in God and in God alone. Now, how does this affect, when we talk about the emphasis here upon strength being from God, how does that affect our marriages? Anyone? Yes, Don, then come over here. Yes, Uziel means my strength is God. Uziel means my strength is God. Yes. Okay. Focusing on God for our strength instead of our spouse. How many of your marriage is someone perfect? Oh, my. I'll tell you. You know, isn't it true that in our marriage, very shortly we found out that that partner that we had married is not the epitome of perfection we thought when we first married them? I mean, you know, just the other day I was writing to our son, and I told him, I said, now, Nathan, I said, you've got to realize marriage takes work. You've got to work at it. And you've got to rely upon the Lord to give you the strength. I told him, I said, look, you don't realize it. I said, your mother and I, the closest we ever came to separation and divorce was sometime in the first year of marriage. And then one time down after we'd been married for nearly 30 years, when the last child was at home and we had all kinds of difficulties going on and we're in a very tense and difficult, pressure-filled situation. I said, boy, I we went through some rough, rough times. But I said, we got through it. But it wasn't by our own strength, because any time we seek to save our marriage by our strength, our wisdom, our words, it's not going to work. It's the strength of God, as believers, we have to rely upon, because it's not easy. Anything else? What else? Yes,
well, Becky. Well, the strength of God is the strength of you two in a party united together. When you're separated on the issue or on the thing you're going through, the strength is half.
That's right. A threefold cord or a twofold cord is not easily broken, we're told in Ecclesiastes. There's a unity there, and the unity in God with his strength is just powerful. Mike? Okay, when we're both going, both partners are going to the same place for help, same place for strength to God, that helps a lot in the marriage. It helps to keep the unity. David?
Also, I think that would apply fairness and justice. As we try to handle for ourselves, we tend to see it through our own lens, if you will, the problem, that it's usually the other person's fault, etc. God is an impartial judge.
Okay, good. Hey? Okay. That makes that threefold cord, doesn't it? The three strands. All right. Think about it again here. Strength in marriage is very important. But it's got to be God's strength if we're going to survive it and make it through. Elder?
You know, many times, you know, your spouse came to me, then I said, you know, I promised God. I made you promise to him. That's it. You know, that's it.
Okay. When we married? the vows we made were made to God as well as to each other, made before God and to God. There's a good spiritual song written by my younger daughter's uncles-in-law. It's her father-in-law's brothers. They wrote a song, and it says, we made it through because we just did what we said we'd do. We did what we said we'd do. We made promises. We stayed with it and made it through. Marriages are not easy. Something we need to realize, and we need to teach our young people as well. This morning, we had a single guy sit in the back of the class, and he said, wow, hearing that there's all these things. He said, I thought it was going to be perfect and an easy thing. He says, wow. He says, I get my eyes open. You know, it is important that we realize this. Life is filled with difficulties. Our marriages are going to be filled with times of challenge. Why? Because there's two sinners involved, right? We have sin nature. What's the difference between our house where believers abide and maybe a house across the street where no one believes in Christ? What's the difference between the two houses? Very similar, isn't it? They have the same sin capability as we do, and we as they. We can have identical problems on both sides of the street. The difference is that as believers, we have a foundation to build on. We have a hope, we have strength to rely on, and we have Christ as solution to the problems we face, where they, without Christ, do not have any solution to the problems they face. Okay, Ralph? Okay, excellent reminder. Marriage to work, to have the strength of God in it, has to be in obedience to God's design. Believers to believers, not believers to unbelievers. Kareem? That's right. Yep. All right. Absolutely. Because. Right. That's right. Remember, what is the primary example, Paul says, of the love of Christ for the church in everyday life? Ephesians chapter 5. The family. The love of a husband for his wife, the obedience and submission of a wife to her husband, and the regard for children they have and the way they raise them. Ephesians 5 and 6. There's the model the world sees of the relationship of Christ and what he did for the church. What does the world see in our families? Does he see that relationship? And to have that proper guide, we've got to realize that the Lord is our strength. Well, our time is just about up, and we're going to switch over to singing. I want to just suggest to you that you go through the handout. There's a number of other issues dealt with verse by verse within here. I want to spend time on these this morning because sometimes I feel like we need to just stop and be reminded. We're not just learning about the Psalms in here. We're not just trying to fill our heads with knowledge. We're not just trying to figure out some technicalities of Hebrew poetry. We're in here to understand what we are to do with God's word in these Psalms. And so I want to take time this morning especially to emphasize that and bring out the emphases that are in the Psalm, the focal points, that are very real and practical in our everyday living. Let's turn to the page 5 there and look at the song that we have, and we're going to sing through it. There are tunes given to us there, and I've got it up here that we'll use to sing through it. We'll change the tunes as we go along. It's Psalm 28 again. It's just the words of Psalm 28. Let's sing it together, okay? To thee I'll cry, O Lord, my rock, hold not thy peace to me. Lest like those that to pit descend, I by thy silence be. The voice hear of my humble prayers, when unto thee I cry, when to thine holy oracle I lift mine hands on high. With ill men draw me not away, that work
speak peace to their friends while in their hearts doth mischief lie. Give them according to their deeds and ills endeavored, and as their handiworks desert, to them be rendered. God shall not build, but them destroy, who would not understand the Lord's own works, nor did regard the doing of his hand. Forever blessed be the Lord, for graciously he heard the voice of my petitions, and prayers did regard. The Lord's my strength and shield, my heart upon him did rely, and I am helped, hence my heart doth joy exceedingly. And with my song I will him praise, my strength is God alone. He also is the saving strength of his anointed one. O thine own people, do thou save, bless thine inheritance. Them also do thou feed, and them forevermore advance.
Let's bow in prayer. Father, how we do thank you and praise you for this psalm. We just pray that, Lord, you'll teach us these lessons in this psalm and help us each one to put them to work in our homes, in our families, in our workplace, in our life settings, in our own church, that we might bring glory and honor to you. Lord, how we thank you that you are our strength. We bless you. We praise you for that. We ask that as in our song we sing, that we might rely upon you for guidance and for help and strength and wisdom in the days that lie ahead. Give us grace through trial and difficulty. Give us wisdom and teach us how to live more Christ-like in every way. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.